Welcome to the Planet Storytime podcast, where we use the power of our imaginations to use the pictures in our minds for some of the best stories ever told. I'm your host, Thomas Mitchell, alongside my dear friend, Paxton Stanley, and we are in for a treat here at Planet Storytime. Today, we have a special guest, award-winning Disney producer, Mr. Fred Mollen. And by the way, he's also an award-winning composer and musician. We can't wait to ask Mr. Mollen all about his new album of children's music called It's Great to Be a Kid that was released just this past weekend, along with his extraordinary career in show business. So without further ado, let me welcome our very special guest, Mr. Fred Mollen. Mr. Mollen, welcome to Planet Storytime. It's so good to have you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, man. Thank you.
Well, I have to say, I have to be completely transparent here. We're a little bit giddy. In reading your resume, it is so extraordinary. We are blown away. And so my heart is beating outside of my chest right now. I'm going to try to do my best to keep it together here. So again,
well, you're very kind, and is that not necessary? Because it's just a long life in music. You know,
is it true that when you were the age of some of our young listeners, you picked up the drums and were a drummer to start?
Yeah, except you know the vivid memories that we all have, including my siblings and my parents, always had. Was that at age, you know, whatever, four, I had assembled the garbage cans in the back of the house and the back of the yard, which were metal, and I would play drums on a drum set made out of garbage cans. So I think they knew they were in trouble, you know.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, that's perfect segue. So Fred, with your illustrious career, we really could start anywhere, but obviously to keep things simple here to start out, tell us about It's Great to Be a Kid, your new interactive album for kids on your Melody Place BMG label, and what inspired you to make it?
Well, what inspired me was the pandemic and how incredibly sequestered I personally was. My daughter lives in Toronto, has two young children and my grandchildren. My son lives in Japan, and my siblings live in California, and I'm in Nashville, and never has it felt so terribly hard on me to be sort of without closeness to them physically. And so to not travel for a year, never thought it was going to last a year. But, you know, I think sometime around May, I just decided that I better get out of my funk and do something creative. And I thought a little bit about my grandchildren's, I mean, I thought a lot about my grandchildren's struggles. They're 3 and 1. And I thought a lot about my 3-year-old grandchild and realizing that I'd love to write songs for her to tell her what life is going to be as she learns these wonderful new parts of life. So every day in the morning, I sort of mandated myself to go to my studio and I said, you know, write a new song every morning. Now, I have to tell you that I write quickly. And I've also done a ton of writing for Disney Records and, probably done 30 albums for Disney, and probably at least 5 or 6 of them were full of my original songs. So this is not new for me.
Right.
What was new was I was doing it on my own for myself and for my grandchildren. So every morning I would write a song and I would just, you know, I just come up with a subject, and the subject was, you know, something they would be learning about that they would be, you know, that would be a huge part of their life, like great food or animals or weather or, you know, and all these things that you learn as you grow from being, you know, 1 till about 5 or 6. And then you have this whole world of wonderful new experiences. And I wanted to just write this and record this album for them so that they would have something to look forward to.
Well, it really is beautiful. We've really enjoyed listening to it. And it seems like the title, It's Great to Be a Kid, is one of the main messages really throughout the songs that really speaks to just enjoying the fun little moments in life, you know, walking hand in hand, like the Yummy song. I love the line, will there be eggs and cheese on my plate? dancing to a happy song, all the wonderful little parts of life. Why was it important for you to write about these little moments, especially during the hard times like we've been experiencing over the past year?
Well, I mean, it, first of all, it gave me something to do. A lot of my work in the studio was really was taken away. Luckily, I don't make my living live, and all my friends who do, of course, have been terribly affected. But even, you know, for many, many months, even making records was extremely tough to imagine ever again. So I think I did it again to keep myself busy. But I also really felt there needed to be a celebration for these kids who were so shut in.
You know, a lot of kids today struggle with being nervous and worrying that their work isn't good enough. They're afraid to put themselves out there. And of course, that's a common thing even for us adults. Your whole career has involved putting yourself out there. How do you do it? And what advice do you have for us to put ourselves out there?
Boy, that's, again, you're very kind. I don't think I didn't have a choice. I mean, I really was a musician from the very beginning, and I was a creative person. And, you know, I had supportive parents, and I just, you know, I want to clarify something I've never done in an interview before. I have never followed music as a financial goal. It was always that I had no choice creatively, so therefore I want to have a life in music. That was all I ever wanted. You know, if I made lots of money, great. But I never cared if I was number one. I never cared if I was number two. I just wanted to be able to be to have a wonderful life in music, and for my music to affect people in a great way. And so that's what kept me going. To answer your question, there was an ambition, and I was sort of driven, but it wasn't an aggressive, you know, I've got to be number one. You know, I'm not that person.
Uh-huh, right.
I hope that answers that. But it felt very organic to me to never quit, because I felt like I couldn't do anything else.
Gotcha. Well, indeed, I can only imagine that it's no small task to write an entire album. Was this particular album a tough one to make?
No. I mean, it was, you know, I write quickly. These songs, because I've done so many children's songs before, and I did them for Walt Disney Records, which, of course, is, you know, the greatest children's record. So I worked with them for almost, you know, for a good 12 years. So, no, it wasn't hard. I know how to write children's songs. I know how to keep it simple. I know how to keep the melodies and the whole motifs simple. And the recording was just done, you know, with my friends who are the greatest studio musicians in the world, who live here in Nashville, and a couple, or I should say three voice actors, singers, and myself. So it was, the whole thing was so easy. The writing was, you know, it gave me something to do each morning. I had a new demo each morning. I had 12 songs by the time 12 days went by, and went in the studio on my own dime. And actually, the interesting part is, too, is that I wasn't going to bring this to the label that I'm a partner with Lee Shockey, who's my partner on Melody Place, which is a label that's 2 years old. And we had never done a kids album before. And I actually decided I wasn't going to even bring it to her, because I just paid for it myself. And I thought I would just sort of make it, print it up for friends and family and for my grandchildren. And then I did play it for Lee, and she said, oh, we have to put this out right away, you know. So it became, you know, actually it's a division of Melody Place called Melody Place Kids. Okay. And so to answer your question, no, it was not hard to do. It was a joy to do.
That's lovely. Now, did you share any bits and pieces with your grandchildren as you were writing it?
I shared pieces. I would do my work tapes with my Korg, which has a built-in sequencer and stuff like that. But in my studio, you know, I just throw a little drum track up, and I just improvise and play and write my songs and each day a new song, and I'd record it onto my iPhone. So they were really raw little, you know, Fred singing as he's writing sort of work tapes. And when I got one that was okay, that became the demo. And I did send it to my daughter. And she thought, oh, those are nice, Dad. It was very sort of not, it was a compliment, but not really a compliment. It was like, no, because she's heard a lot of what I've done. And these were very, very, very raw little, you know, iPhone recordings. And I sent it to my partner in LA. We live apart because she has a ailing mother, and she lives in LA. And actually, she sang about four songs on the album. And Karen, I sent them to Karen, and she literally, half of them, I don't think she ever listened to. She just thought I was just wasting time, you know, because time was there to be wasted, you know. So I didn't really get a lot of good feedback.
And do you have a favorite song on the album?
Boy, I really don't. The album certainly is a combination of up-tempo songs for the children and some songs that have a little more poignancy. And so probably my sensibility likes the more melodic, poignant songs. But I mean, I like them all. I mean, I do like there's a song called What Will the Weather Be, which I like.
That's my favorite song.
Yeah, it's my favorite because it really sounds like it's, you know, it's a pretty sophisticated track. And Tanya Hentschroff sang it, and she's one of the great singers ever. And she made it way better than it is. And the musicians I use in the studio made it way better. And that's probably one of my favorites. I love Kitty Cat because I wrote that one. That's the only song I wrote that was not part of the going downstairs every day in the pandemic and writing. That was one I had written in 1985, for my son, who was 1 year old at that point. And I wrote that, and it became a family favorite for all these years, and we'd never recorded it in any way. So that's sort of a favorite too. But, you know, I like them all. I mean, I don't have one that's a dog. You know, I like them all.
Well, what really spoke to me about What Will the Weather Be is the uncertainty. I mean, and I think that for children, you know, especially now, I think that that's brought to the surface that concern, that anxiety about what's really going to happen, what's going to happen in our world is exemplified in, you know, each day with wondering what the weather's going to be like and how do I prepare for it? You know, what should I wear? And on the side, I'm a therapist. And I work with all ages, but with a lot of young people. And so I really do believe in the power of music and art to heal. You know, it is therapy in its own right. And that's what I found in your music. So
I'm very kind words, and I so much appreciate. I take compliments poorly, but I'm so appreciative of what you said. And you know, I want to also underline, this wasn't a sort of a cause that I decided to pick up and write, but as I was recording it, and it took only one day in the studio to record with the live band, those 12 songs or whatever. But as I was recording it and the vocals were being done afterwards, I realized, you know, this may do a good thing for people.
We'll be right back.
A family of blue people from the bright yellow planet take a fantabulous summer vacation trip all over the universe. Young Haon gets kidnapped by giant rats, and the whole family almost gets danced to death in outer space, but they still manage to go to intergalactic beaches, county fairs, nightclubs, motels, and they go shopping. On the podcast, I'll read from my middle grade novel version, and I'll play songs from the album. So come hear Space Vacation, the musical, and remember, the universe is like a song.
The universe is like a song.
Well, I think it was a stroke of genius to put the bedtime song at the very end.
I don't know if it was, genius. I think you're exaggerating. I think it was a good idea.
I bet parents out there think that, you know.
Well, you know, you don't want to put it early on in the album because it could put them to sleep, you know.
Well, exactly.
It's true.
So it's really, it was just more of an idea that, you know, was pretty obvious. You know, one of the great successes I have had, and it does bring me great pride, I feel tremendously good about it, is that I've probably sold worldwide about 2 million of my instrumental lullaby albums. And, you know, we went gold on the first one and, you know, with no promotion whatsoever, like nothing. And it's sold over 700,000 so far. And the other ones, you know, worldwide in total, probably about 2 million sales. And a lot of beautiful things have come from those beautiful instrumental lullaby albums that I did, again, you know, taking great songs and turning them into lullaby versions that, you know, no vocals, all instrumental. And so writing the song Bedtime and putting it on the album, I wanted to sing it. And I have a lullaby cred, so I certainly could write that song and sing it.
If I'm one of the parents listening, where is the best place for me to get a copy of your new record?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can buy it certainly from Amazon. That's the number one place for everything. Mm-hmm. So, and if you do buy it on Amazon, please give it a good review, because the best reviews are always helpful. And so I would say number one place to buy it through is Amazon. And yeah. Then there are some stores that are carrying it, that there will be some, you know, kids stores that might carry it. We're not in the major chains. I mean, they don't really carry anything more than the top 40 albums.
Right.
So really it's Amazon and it's digital downloads for actually listening or purchasing the music.
Out of everything that you've done, say over the last 40 plus years, specific to your children's content, what are some other albums or projects you've been involved with that you think would resonate with, say, our audience?
You know, if you have young children, 0 to about 4 or 5, my instrumental lullaby albums, which are all available again, you know, on Amazon, et cetera, they're really, really helpful to put the children to sleep. It's very calming, you know, very, very warm, and piano and strings or guitar and strings, versions of well-known songs and Disney songs. And so I really recommend those. They've been around for a while, but they don't date. And also, I just think there's lots of other, I mean, if you go and search my, I guess, like things like the Wikipedia or whatever they're listing things on, I think any of my kids' albums that were done in conjunction as alternative soundtracks, as secondary soundtracks to Disney films, those are really fun records for kids. I did two for Cars. I did one for Ratatouille. I did one for Finding Nemo. I did one for Lilo and Stitch. And those are fun. They have lots of fun songs on them. They are very much what inspired me to continue. I did the songs on Handy Manny, a great Disney series. And so a lot of those records I'm really proud of for the kids and stuff.
Well, that's awesome. And yeah, Fred, if you don't mind, indulge me one more question.
Take your time.
Out of curiosity, of all the different hats that you wear, musician, composer, producer, what do you like most?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'm a musician, so I love playing. There's a reason why they don't call it working music. They call it playing music. That's because we play. Yeah. And you guys know that. So playing music really is probably my favorite thing to do, meaning, you know, I'm an accomplished guitarist and a drummer and reasonable keyboard player. I love playing music. I've missed playing with others this past year. It's been heartbreaking for me as far as my creative soul. And it's coming back thanks to vaccines and things like that. So we're feeling a lot better about that. But that's my favorite thing to do. I also, you know, I was a performer by nature, and in my early part of my career, I was a singer-songwriter. I led bands. I was a singer-songwriter then, and I fell behind the camera early on in my career. When I was about 23, I started producing other people's music, and I realized I'd have to make a decision, and it was an easy decision to make because I really liked producing people's music and making them sound great and fulfilling their visions, and I sort of liked being behind the camera, so to speak. And so my performing career went by the wayside, but I still on occasion will do, like, you know, we'll do Fred Mullen and friends at the Hard Rock here in Nashville or something. And, you know, we'll get to play a lot of music. And I still love that. And I still love performing. So I bring performance into everything I do as far as my recorded work. I mean, I really do, you know, if I'm known for anything, it's known for bringing that element of the creative process to be much more about performance than other people. Some people are much more, well, I want to write it down. I want to, you know, take my time, write down. I'm not. I'm like, let's just go and get this done. And you play this, I'll play this. And it's all very performance oriented. So yes, that's a long answer to your question, but I probably love playing music most. Yeah.
Fantastic. I kind of had a feeling you were going to say that. Well, and the next time we're at the Hard Rock, Fred Mullen and friends, we're going to do our best to be there and can't wait until
let's get live music. Let's get those venues back again, you know?
Absolutely. Would you maybe come back on the show sometime and do some performing, possibly? Maybe a song?
Yes, I would love to.
That'd be awesome.
And by the way, I'm after all these years, I'm quite shy. So it'll, you know, I may have to really get myself ready. But yes, I'd be happy to play a couple songs. Let me ask you before we leave, do you guys have favorite songs on the new album? I'm needing feedback desperately.
Well, yeah. Definitely, you know, like I said, What Will the Weather Be? I mean, I listened to that song like 3 times in a row. And then it just was so tender. And then the Let's Go Outside. I don't know if that's the name of it, but.
Walking Hand in Hand. Yeah.
Walking Hand in Hand.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
The Yummy Song.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Yummy Song's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I need to thank Troy Johnson, who sang so wonderfully on the ones that I cast him for. Tanya Hensheroff, who's incredible. Karen Richman, who's an actor much more than a singer, but I felt was the perfect actor to have vocals on the album, with Animal Fair and Kitty Cat. And you know, I want to thank them especially, as well as my great musicians and my engineer and everyone who really, you know, it's a team effort.
Right, because this is an album not just by Fred Mullen, this is by Fred Mullen and friends.
With his friends, yeah. Because I could not take the credit completely, no. Yeah. Oh my God, and that's the reason why I love making music in the studio, because all my musicians, even though they are the best in the world, in the studio, they're all great pals of mine, and it is just like rolling off a log to make these projects.
Fred, thank you so much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much for all of your great words of wisdom and for your inspiration, and not just for our young people, but for us old folks too.
Yeah, well, I'm delighted and honored to be on the show, and I hope we can spread the word about, like you said, that music really is a great tool to heal, especially kids who have been really affected by the social numbness of the pandemic times.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Right. Take good care. We'll be in touch again.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
I hope you enjoyed our interview with Fred Mullen as much as we did. It just goes to show what you can do when you're not afraid to let your music out. Until next time, remember to keep using your imagination and see just how powerful your mind truly is. Goodbye for now.